Hello and welcome to episode 12 of The Perfect Cast. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Jack. This week we watched Love is Blind, The Stranger and The Chef Show.
And we also watched Parasite and A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood, as well as playing a new game.
Yeah, let's get your read on. Yep.
We talked about last week doing like a bit of news.
Yeah.
You got any news or?
I know you've got news.
Okay. Well, I didn't. I just sort of kind of took like bullet point headlines.
That's fine. That's all.
So let's give that a go. Okay. Shall we? Okay. Yeah. So like Disney have announced their first LGBTQ character in an animated movie. The character will show up in Onward.
Oh, cool.
So.
That's news.
It's good. It's progressive.
Yeah.
It's good that they're including
everybody.
Characters
yeah.
that represent everybody. Obviously, it's going to ruffle a few feathers for the miserable bunch. But
yeah.
For the it's internet. Good that we're moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. All inclusive.
Disney Plus have announced for a limited time only, they've got a limited offer of a yearly price of £49.99 instead of £59.99 for the year.
Oh, cool.
So that works out as like £4.
Right, so you have to buy the annual one.
So that's an annual yearly offer. It's for a limited time. I think you only get like 20 days before that offer goes.
Right, okay. That's pretty good though. You save like, what, 20 quid? Something like that?
Yes.
If 20 quid if you do the monthly one.
Yeah, for sure. A Friends reunion has been announced. We all noticed that all the Friends cast members started joining Instagram, even though they never had Instagram before,
right.
So something was in the works.
Yeah.
It's not a Friends episode.
Right.
It's instead a 1 hour special on HBO, like an interview special with all of the cast members.
Yeah, because I've seen the cover art for it and it like, isn't Ross dressed as a sailor?
That's the picture that they all posted, but I'm pretty sure that's an old picture.
Right, yeah, because they all look super young.
Yeah, yeah.
I vaguely remember seeing a thing about Jennifer Aniston gaining like 15 million followers on Instagram in like three hours.
Yeah, she gained the most followers in the shortest amount of time ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she's the favourite.
Yeah. So RuPaul's Drag Race season 12 starts Friday on VH1 in America and Saturday on Netflix in the UK. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's back to the American one. So they say back in the United States. Yeah.
He loves a good pun.
He likes a good pun, does our Ru. The Twilight Zone reboot by Jordan Peele.
Oh, this looks so good.
Is coming to the UK. It airs this Friday on the Sci-Fi Channel.
I remember watching the trailer for it last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
the
America's had it for
ago.
A while,
right.
I think.
I haven't heard anything
just getting
of it.
It. Well, that's what I mean. The Sci-Fi Channel's not a big... I don't think it's a majorly popular channel, but it's coming to the Sci-Fi Channel 9 o'clock on Friday. So if you've got that, it's on Now TV, I think.
Cool.
So check it out. It's starring some really cool people like Adam Scott. It's the best I can think of. But Adam Scott appears in an episode, but I'm pretty sure it's just remakes of the old episodes.
And more cool people.
Yeah. So if you're interested in the Twilight Zone or you are a fan of the old Twilight Zone, it's just more modern. But they've not made it too CGI. They've tried to keep it as
like
the old one as they can.
Cool. I've never seen the old one, but after being on the Tower of Terror and watching the trailer for the new one, it looks really good. And I like a lot of things that Jordan Peele does.
Exactly. And my last bit of news is creator of The Office, Greg Daniels, brings Steve Carell back to TV for his new Netflix show, Space Force, also starring Ben Schwartz. I don't have a release date for this and there's no trailer, but I heard Ben Schwartz talking about it and I like Ben Schwartz. I also like Steve Carell and I love Greg Daniels. So
there you go. Yeah,
hopefully
so Greg Daniels,
be good.
As well as The Office, he also did Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
So Steve Carell is the main character in The Office, and Ben Schwartz plays John Ralphio in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, yeah. But
that'll be ace.
That comes out this year. There's no month. It just says 2020.
Right.
So
that will be really good. So you heard about that from the Marc Maron
podcast with
WTF with Marc Maron.
Yeah,
nice.
On the episode with Ben Schwartz.
Yeah,
he
cool.
Gives a really, really interesting interview. It's definitely one I enjoyed. At first, he comes across a bit obnoxious.
Right.
But when you sort of get into the episode, you're just like, oh, he's just a cheeky chap.
Yeah, he is the voice of Sonic, so maybe he was channeling Sonic at the time.
He goes on there to promote it, but then they don't talk about it at all, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, Yeah, cool, because he's also done like the voice of BB-8.
Yep, and he also did the voice of Huey, Louie, or Dewey, the blue one.
Louie.
So he's the voice of Dewey. Louie. Which one is it?
Huey, Dewey is Dewey.
He's Dewey.
Dewey's the blue one.
He's the voice of Dewey, and he also plays Raphael from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is also the blue one.
Ah, maybe just like oh, blue yeah, characters. Yeah, blue characters. I remember like watching him on the thing.
Anyway, so that was my news. I don't know if it was a bit, I don't know if it was much crap.
Yeah.
Was it any good?
Well,
what do you think, guys?
At least it was all good news.
No bad news here.
Yeah.
Promise. Cool.
Right, yeah, sound. News. Doo-doo-doo. Maybe we'll do some music for it.
Boo! On tonight's news at 10.
Yes. Shall we get into the main part of the show then?
The main event. Yeah, sure, let's go for it.
Right. So, big one, I think, of recent week is The Stranger, I'd say.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of recommendations, a lot of people talking about it.
A lot of people have been talking about it. It's on Netflix. The whole series is on Netflix. It's British.
It is British.
It is good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It took us under a week to watch it.
Yeah, we tried to not binge it. We tried to, because the issue that we had with The
Outsider,
I didn't want that for this, so I was just like, let's try and keep it as a minimum of one a night, a maximum of two.
Yeah, but it was faster paced.
Yeah, well, it was gripping, wasn't it? Like,
more happened.
Every episode had me like gripped and confused, and I looked forward to what happens next.
Exactly.
It wasn't obvious or predictable what would happen, so I still enjoyed every episode. I like the way it ended with a cliffhanger every episode, so you're just like desperate to watch more. Although it was cheesy at times, I really did enjoy the show.
Yeah, there was some like bits of writing where you're like, okay.
Why are you saying that?
And once we'd found out that the main guy plays the, I can't remember his name, the main dwarf in The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah.
I like, because he's got such a distinct voice.
Yeah.
That, like, it didn't throw it off, but I was like, ah, oh, God, all I can hear is him now. And he gets so angry. But he looks a bit like George Clark from The Home Show.
He doesn't.
So I was just a bit, like, blending two characters together in my head.
This is the first show in a while that I've not been completely disappointed by the ending.
I was.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was. My main negative comment is disappointed with the ending. I was hoping for it to have, because there's so many cliffhangers throughout, I thought maybe this would end on a cliffhanger, or
no,
there'd be
I'm glad
more
they didn't,
mystery
though,
to it.
Only because shows that end on a cliffhanger that were meant to be like a one-off,
yeah,
when it does well, they make a second and it never does well.
So
I'd rather them just be like tied up in a nice bow, the end.
That's good in a way. So if you are looking to watch it, it's not really too spoilery to say it has a good ending, because at least you know you've got that
to look forward to.
Peace of mind of, oh, yeah, that's the show.
It wasn't just
bed.
Like a bit of a, oh, womp womp.
But I'm wondering, would they do a series two, but with like True Detectives, so they keep it under that same
show name,
but it's a different story,
don't
like
know.
Somewhere else? Don't know. One thing I liked about it, though, is a lot of it was filmed
in between
Bury and Manchester.
And Liverpool.
But me and Lisa both used to live in Bury, so we like recognised a few places.
Yeah, like, we'd be like, oh, that's where I used to get a haircut, or that's where we had the pub.
Yeah.
A lot of it was in Bury Town Centre.
It's where, if you're watching the show or planning to watch the show, there's a bit with an alpaca. It's there. That's Bury, which, if you're not from the UK or don't know it, it's just north of Manchester.
Yeah, it's a little town outside of Manchester.
Famous for black pudding.
Would you give The Stranger, what would you rate it?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it an 8.
Okay.
It's just the ending let it down. Not enough to score it really low.
Yeah.
Just I wanted it to be more mystery, more cliffhangery, and it just...
Yeah.
It all came to an end very quickly.
Oh, do you think? I didn't.
You kept entertained all the way through the episode, and then they drop a bombshell on you.
Yeah, it'd be like another twist, and you're like, oh, I thought I knew which way it was going.
Yeah. There was only maybe one slow half an episode.
Yeah.
And even still, it was fine.
It was just setting a scene, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I got a little bit tired of the main guy, the dad.
Just Where is my wife?
But, yeah, loved it.
It was really good,
What would you give it out
of? I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, and also 8 out of 10. Nice.
Yeah, one of the highest ratings I've done so far.
Wow, The Stranger.
Go, yeah.
Do you hear that?
Do you hear that?
That's big up on the review scale.
That's a series on Netflix.
It is indeed.
Did you watch any more telly or should I go?
You go.
I watched another series on Netflix and I've caught up. On the day that this episode is released, there will be more episodes, but as of recording, I have watched every episode of Love is Blind.
Right. I watched the trailer.
You wanted to watch this when you saw the trailer.
I was curious, but...
Nah, you wanted to watch
okay.
it.
Okay.
So how do I describe this show? It is one of the most cringy TV shows I have ever seen in my life, but like in a good way.
Oh, okay.
Basically, it's a dating show and the goal is to get engaged before you've even met each other.
Right.
Or seen each other. So they get a bunch of men and women who live apart, and the only way they can be with the opposite sex is if they go into a pod, and in the pod is like a frosted glass in between both of you, so you can't see each other but you can hear each other.
When you say they live apart, so
all the men live in one part and all the women live in another part.
Okay, right.
And then if, say, me and you go into a pod and we don't get on, I just don't have to go into a pod with you again.
Oh, right.
But if me and you go into a pod and we do get on, I can choose to spend more time with you than anyone else if you would like to too.
Okay.
So they whittle down who they like the most and whose personality they get on the most. And within like 3 days, they've got to propose if they like them enough.
3 days?
Yeah. So they're like literally spending like 24 hours basically just talking in these pods, getting to know each other.
Yeah.
But like they get a connection and they propose and they say things like, besides my brothers and my family, you have become the most important in my life now. I love you more than anything.
Oh, wow.
This was in 3 days.
Wow.
So like you just like hide behind a cushion like cringing for them.
Yeah.
They're just embarrassing. And then once they're engaged, they're allowed to reveal themselves to each other.
Mm-hmm. So it's a bit like blind dating.
Yeah, and they hug and they kiss, blah. But they're like, I love you so much. And they're like necking dead hard.
Mm.
And then they go to Mexico. All of them go to Mexico and they get to spend time there to get to know like each other. And then once they've done that for like 2 days, I think, they get their own flat together. But they all live in the same building in these flats.
Wow, this is like blending a lot of reality TV shows together.
So they all live in these flats, but the couples all live in flats together.
Right.
To get to know each other more, meet each other's family. They finally get the phones back so they can socialise, introduce their friends to all of their new partners, basically. But it's like a lot of issues. Like some family members are like, oh, me and your dad, we met. And within 6 months, we were married with you.
Right,
so
this
is understandable,
like
how you can fall in
thing.
Love fast.
Yeah.
And then there's like an interracial couple and the dad, who's black, is grilling the white guy going like, have you ever been in a room full of black people? Like,
right,
and he's like,
okay.
Yeah, my last girlfriend was black, it's okay. And he's like, no, like, he's not okay with it, basically.
Oh, right,
and
okay.
He's just trying to, like, intimidate him, and that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Basically, they've got to get married within 30 days. And, like...
Is that including the 3 days to
yeah,
get
yeah,
engaged?
Within 30 days.
So it's all done within the
it's
month.
It's all done within 30 days.
Wow.
So, like, it's really embarrassing, and I hate that, I love it, but I watched it all, and I was hooked. And there's still more episodes to come. The couples I felt were the strongest on their like hen do, hen and stag do. They were like confiding in their like real friends going, oh, just, I do love him, but it's not the kind of guy I'd normally go for.
Right.
So I'm seeing him more as a friend. And you're just like, oh. And that's when the penny sort of drops. That they've got to, if you proposed, you've got to stay in this relationship. And the only way you can say you want out is on the wedding day. You've got to stand at the front of the altar and you've got to either say, I do or I don't, basically.
Unless you've only known the person for a month.
I know, but they've got to, like, pay for their own weddings and stuff.
Right.
And get, like, the family are all there. Like, it's a proper wedding. And they've got to say, like, I do or I don't. So basically, the scene that they've left it at was one of the couples, Gigi and the other fella. And she's like, I do. And he's like, his face is just quivering loads. Like, his eyes are filling up and he's gone bloodshot red. And
he doesn't want to do it.
They don't know. That's where it ended. I was like, oh my God, I need to watch more.
Yeah.
It's so crap.
It sounds like, though, such a mixture of other reality TV shows. Like, they all live in the same flat. So that's like the circle. They go on holiday, essentially, to a hot country like Love Island.
Yeah.
They have to get couple up like Love Island.
It's just a reality TV show.
They don't see each other behind a wall, but ask each other questions and talk to each other all day. Blind date. I reckon, got some cards with all different TV shows on.
Yeah.
And then gone, right, those three. Let's make a show about that.
Yeah, I mean, They refer to it as an experiment throughout, because they're just trying to see if people can fall in love with a personality within this small amount of time.
And make a TV episode out of it.
Yeah. I think there's like 10 episodes, because I watched 8 hours worth on Saturday.
Right. Oh, 8 hours.
This is why I was up till 3:30.
That's a good way to spend the day.
I wasn't just sat on the couch watching it. I was playing The Sims as well.
Right.
So, you know, important stuff.
Yeah. So you're having...
You're living a
sim life whilst watching reality TV.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you get your Sims to sit down and watch reality TV?
No, my Sims did sit down and play Sims, though, at one point.
And the Sims that they were playing, were they watching
reality
TV?
Probably, yeah. Full circle.
Wow. There's so many dimensions of reality TV going on.
Have you watched any other telly?
Hang on. What would you give Love is Blind?
I give Love is Blind 2 out of 5 stars because it's utter tosh.
Tripe.
But I'm in.
You're hooked.
I'm in there, yeah.
Can't put it down.
No. Gotta wait till Thursday now.
Oh, no. What are you going to do?
Wait till Thursday.
Watch other shows in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Cool. Do you watch anything else this week on the TVs?
TVs? No.
No?
Nope.
Ah. Well, I was chilling the other day, just minding my own business. Turn on the Netflix. And there it is, The Chef Show, Series 3.
Oh, is this one of the...
Oh, Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau.
Oh, I was so excited. Like, Series 1, Series 2, amazing. So if you've seen the Jon Favreau film, Chef,
where such a good film.
He goes around America with his son selling Cubanos out of a food truck.
Mm.
This is the TV chef show version of that. Where instead of going around with his son, he goes around with a famous chef he met on the set of Iron Man.
Yeah.
Called Roy Choi.
Oh, I know Roy Choi. He's on Gilmore Girls at some point.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. He's famous for his Kogi food truck.
Mm.
It's been at like Coachella and like, Gwyneth Paltrow did a whole thing about it. And you know, once Paltrow gets involved, that is...
No one wants to touch it.
It's trending straight off the bat.
Oh, just like a candle.
Sure, don't know. Anyway,
just got a candle that smells like a hooch.
That sounds atrocious. Anyway, Series 3, just as good as all the others. It started off with...
is it always in America?
So far.
Okay.
Yeah, so far. So far, Series 3 has been featuring mainly Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And I think the other ones... So in Series 2, there's a lot based in California because I think they went to like San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
They went to Skywalker Ranch because obviously that's where John does a lot of his writing.
Yeah.
And a few other places. And I can't remember with Series 1, but they have a string of either celebrity actor guests or they get famous chefs. So in Episode 1 of Series 3, it starts with Wolfgang Puck.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's teaching John and Roy how to... Well, he's not really teaching Roy because Roy is a chef. But he's teaching them how to cook meat. And, oh, my God, they get... Like, they do a côte de bœuf.
Côte de bœuf.
They do two types of Wagyu beef.
Okay.
And another type of steak. I can't remember what it is. Roy has trained John as a chef.
Yeah.
And like constantly they call each other chef and stuff like that. But like Roy just sort of sits back and learns from some of these like
other chefs.
But it's just got like Jon Favreau all over it. Like even though he's not writing it, he's just there to
be a
chef. He's just so engaging.
Yeah.
And the pair of them work so well on TV together as well. And you're watching it and you're like, oh my God, these meals all look incredible.
Yeah.
They do this really cool thing where like before they start to do a new recipe, they'll be like, oh, we're going to do the thing with the pork. And then it'll cut to this like little animation of the Cubano food truck driving down a hill. And then they go inside the Cubano food truck in the animation and they've got the dish there and then it like bursts into the air and you can see all of the ingredients that are in it.
Cool.
Oh, that's done really well. And then you just like, I find it hard to watch because you just get so hungry watching it. They visited these two female chefs in Vegas in Series 3 and they've got a lot of plant-based meals because they're trying to get more of a plant-based thing. And then if they don't use anything plant-based, they use sustainable meats and fish. But they made this like pork dish with like oranges and bananas, and they wrap all this pork in this like banana, like leaf.
Oh, yeah.
And from the trees. Oh, and it just looks so amazing. And you just want to eat all the food and you want to be like best mates with John and Roy and go around and eat. So on like episode three, they've, like in the past couple of series, they haven't really touched on Roy's stuff. He's obviously done well for himself and got a number of like establishments and what have you, but they go to his new restaurant, which is in Vegas. It's in the MGM Park Hotel, and it's called Best Friend. When you go in, it's like a convenience shop, like a like the corner shop. But more like the co-op. So like a small town shop, but like really vivid and bold saturated colors, so everything's dead bright. And then you go through this like tunnel of red-ish lights and then into this like completely whole different restaurant space, and all the food looks amazing. Oh my god, just the chef show, it's incredible. Like, you remember like watching the film Chef, really wanting a Cubano. Imagine that, but there's like four recipes or three recipes per episode. You just want to eat everything. Oh, it looks so good. So I'm going to give the chef show a straight up 10 out of 10.
Oh, really?
Because I just love it.
You should really enjoy it.
I love pretty much anything Jon Favreau does.
Yeah, I really like Jon Favreau. And he seems like a genuinely good guy.
But at the time of this filming, he's writing The Lion King.
Oh, wow.
So they must have done... Obviously, they'll probably only do it when Jon's got the time to do it.
Yeah.
But they must have done this like a year or so ago, at least.
Yeah, because he's got like, he had loads of, like, what is it, irons in the...
Fire?
Fire?
I don't know.
And he's got loads of things
probably
going on.
Probably it's all going on at the same time.
He had like The Mandalorian, The Lion King.
A lot of tie-ins with Marvel, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like, he's touched every Disney property.
Yeah.
Well, the big three.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the chef show on the side.
He's a busy boy.
He is a busy boy. Busy boy with Roy Choi.
Hi, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Oh, it's so
good.
That's
on Netflix, right?
That is on Netflix.
Okay, cool.
And it came
just
as a surprise.
Just called Chef.
No, it's called The Chef Show.
The Chef Show.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, is that us for TV?
That is it, or television.
Television.
So I watched It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood.
Yes.
This weekend while you were out.
Yep, I had a nice weekend away with friends.
Yep, I was too poor to go.
At least was too poor to go, but you watched A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood.
Yeah, so this movie is based on a true story about an investigative journalist, known mostly for picking apart celebrities and being brutally honest. And his boss gives him an assignment of interviewing Mr. Rogers for their hero segment.
Okay.
His wife's like really concerned that he's gonna ruin her childhood hero, because that's what he does.
The journalist wife.
Yeah.
Right.
He's always like, he just picks apart people and shows the true colours rather than
You see on TV or anything.
Yeah, he's
like
quite
that.
Like suspicious that Mr. Rogers is too nice.
Too nice.
And he's playing a character.
So, which he technically is.
Yeah, like
he's on
Walt
TV.
Disney played Walt Disney when he was on telly.
I see what you mean.
But in real life, he wasn't chatting away to cartoon characters.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
I see what you mean.
He was acting as Uncle Walt, but he wasn't always like that. Sometimes
right,
he was bad-tempered.
Yeah, okay.
So this
weird
guy...
Weird that people are bad-tempered.
But this guy is genuinely nice and good, and he's like, right, I'm gonna see if you are a hero.
Skeletons
basically.
In the closet, essentially.
Exactly. After meeting Mr. Rogers on more than one occasion, because Mr. Rogers is like, I like you, I think you're a good person, so I'm going to spend more time with you. So he like goes out of, even though he's interviewed him a bit, he keeps coming to see him to try and show him like it's okay to be nice, it's okay to be kind, it's
Mr.
okay
Rogers
to be sad.
Keeps coming to see the journalist.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because he feels a connection with him and he just wants to become a friend almost.
Right, okay. Interesting.
After meeting Mr. Rogers, he doesn't really understand how he can genuinely be a good person that he portrays to be on his TV show. But in fact, Mr. Rogers' good nature and kindness helps Lloyd deal with some of his past traumas and how to move forward thinking more positively.
Okay, right. So he sort of becomes a mentor to him almost.
Yeah, so like when he talks to Mr. Rogers' wife, Mrs. Rogers... I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Obviously, sometimes he gets sad. Sometimes he gets angry. But he tries to use his emotions for the best. And he tries to teach people about people who are different and
he
deals with death on his kids' TV show and just heavy subjects that kids should know
wouldn't
about.
Normally, yeah.
So she said like every night he goes to bed before bed, he prays about the people he's met throughout the day and he says their names out loud to try and put good vibes or something into the universe.
Right.
So to try and put it out there sort of thing.
Yeah, sort of
just
maybe
genuinely like cares about people.
Everyone's thinking all of these things but no one's saying it.
Yeah.
And even if no one's there to listen but he's saying it, at least someone's saying it.
Yeah. Okay, so Mr. Rogers was one of the first TV shows to show black kids and white kids playing together on telly. Just trying to say, like, people are people.
When was Mr. Rogers, like, based? When was his main time? Like,
I think he started in the 70s and he was going until maybe the 90s.
Yeah, so racism was especially prevalent.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, he showed disabled kids and, you know, some people hadn't seen disabled kids before. He'd come down to the level and talk to them like they were
humans.
Human.
Well, because, talk to them as humans.
So he was just trying to show people, like, you know, it's good to be kind. And I think, especially...
But it wasn't just for a TV show.
No, he was genuinely kind.
Right. So just, what did he do on his TV show? It just was a show about him talking to people?
He'd come into his house, sing his theme tune, come into the house, and then he'd just talk about subjects that are important to kids. He did have a break for a while because he felt like he taught everything he could possibly teach. And then his kids turned into teenagers and he realised, oh no, there's more problems than kids have. So he started talking about, he came back and started talking about that. But it was really good. And like, he teaches Lloyd, the journalist, like, who has trouble with his dad, and he had to watch his mum die of cancer while his dad was off cheating on her with another woman.
Right, okay.
Sort of thing. So he's held on to this anger, and Mr. Rogers is like, what's that? That anger's not affecting your dad. Your dad doesn't know you're angry. It's affecting you. Like, you've got to let go. You've got to release it into the world and say,
So he's sort of like passing on his wisdom, isn't he?
Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice film, but that's pretty much all I can say about it. It was a bit slow. I don't think it was a film that necessarily needed to be made.
Right, okay. There's a documentary about him on Netflix now, isn't there?
It was a good film, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It was a feel-good film. I felt like, oh, that was nice, but I'm not rushing to go see it again. I don't, like...
Who played the journalist?
I don't know.
Because it's Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers.
It is Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers.
And he played Walt Disney really well.
Yeah.
So,
he's the only person I'd trust to play Walt.
Right, yeah.
But, like... Captain Phillips, that's a good film where he plays a real life person.
Yeah.
I think that's a film that should be made because it's a story about
survival.
A survival and a hero, essentially.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers is a great human, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it needed to be a movie.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because he's not huge over here, so it wasn't.
Yeah.
It didn't affect me the way it could have.
Yeah, because I mean,
I learned about Mr. Rogers, but
I think that's it. You're sort of seeing a guy that was around 50 years ago now,
and he talks a bit weird, and I think that creeped me out a bit because he'd be like, "Hello, friend."
Yeah,
and he was a bit like,
so you see a lot of like what would be stereotypically like a creepy older person in the way that he acts.
No, I don't think... I wouldn't say creepy.
If you were being prejudiced about Mr. Rogers...
I think he was just very... He was a very gentle person.
Right, okay.
I don't know if that's how he talks, but Tom Hanks made it. He talked a bit weird.
Right.
But I don't know if that was just Tom.
Well, he'll have known Mr. Rogers better than we did.
Yeah.
So what do you give Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood out of 10?
I give it...
Or out of 5?
I give it 3 stars out of 5.
Okay.
So it was a nice movie.
Yeah.
I'd watch it again if I was, like, on a plane.
Right. Was it worth going to the cinema for?
No.
No. Okay.
It's a good TV movie.
It's a good
and I think
TV,
that's
right,
what it should have been. I don't think Tom Hanks needed to do it.
Yeah, if you're looking for an interest piece, maybe something like that, an easy watch. Easy watch.
I think if you're just on a Sunday morning and feeling a bit down, it's a nice film.
Right.
But that's
okay.
about it.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry, Tom Hanks. Sorry, thanks.
They can't all be winners. Yeah, that Projector for the King was a weird film. Do you remember that one?
It felt like it was just about to get going and then it credits.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Like,
nothing
what?
Happened.
No, happened. Yeah. Tom Hanks films are usually good, but yeah, they can't all be winners. One film that definitely is a winner for me.
Mm-hmm.
We went to go and see Parasite.
Oh boy, was that a good film.
In the cinema, because I know it's been out for a while, but it hasn't been out in the UK until recently. And we did not know what to expect.
I had an idea of what... Well, it looked like a thriller in all of the...
I did not know.
It looked like a thriller in the trailers.
Yes.
So when you're watching it, you're just like, oh, I don't know where this is going.
What I remember of the trailer is, we'll say, the main boy walking around the really nice house with intense music.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I felt thrillery, like something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the way through.
Yeah.
But the setup was so strange because for, I'd say, the first half...
Yeah, it was like a comedy.
It was really funny.
Yeah. So it's a Korean film, so it is subtitled.
Yeah.
But you don't notice subtitles after a while. You forget that you're reading them.
I can speak fluent Korean now.
It makes you feel like you can. You're just like, oh, I knew what she just said.
Yeah, it's like you said, though. Within like 2 or 3 minutes, you just automatically read in what's on the screen.
Yeah.
And I love watching films with subtitles on, even if I speak the language that it's on, because it's just easier. Sometimes it's mumbling or it's too quiet, and you can just...
Or a different accent.
You get the sense of more of what they're saying because you're reading it as well as listening to it, as well as watching them.
So my synopsis for Parasite, because I thought really hard about not spoiling it, because I didn't feel like it's a film a lot of people have seen, but it's a film you should go see. But my synopsis is a poor family, the Kims, con their way into becoming servants for a rich family, the Parks. But their easy life gets complicated when their deception is threatened with exposure.
Oh, that is, that's a good way to describe it.
This is easily one of the best films I've seen in the cinema for a long time.
Oh, yeah, original.
Yep.
Funny.
Yep.
Dark at times. Unexpected.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, there's a point where we were literally, like, we grabbed onto each other's hands and we were just, like...
Oh, my God.
Not squeezing, but just, like, holding quite tightly.
So there's about a 10 to 15 minute segment where, one, the cinematography and the storytelling was incredible.
Yes.
And it's the bit before this happens, but I won't go into that, when they're walking home in the rain.
Yes.
And maybe the 10 minutes before that was just amazing. But once they're outside in the rain, that whole sequence of them getting back home.
Yeah.
And then the 5 minutes at home, just as a sort of juxtaposition, I hate that word, but between the two, that sequence from the Park's house to the Kim's house.
Yeah.
It's just, if you think of it as a gradient.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's such a clever film. And, like, it has you guessing all the way through it. And it's, like,
you don't know what's going to happen.
It's quite comedic at times. But I did feel bad for the Kim family, even though they were kind of taking advantage of the Park family.
Yeah.
Although they did do the jobs and everything. And everything that the Park family asked of them. So, technically...
It sets it up in a really good way for you to feel the right thing for the character at the right time.
Exactly. So, like, I know they're technically lying to the Park family, but...
They're doing it for good reason.
When things start to feel too easy, you know something's going to go wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you don't expect what happens to happen. So, and suddenly, good. Like, everything spirals. Like, it's just such a good film.
I'm sorry I've said like a thousand times. No, it's fine. Like, I'm probably not going to edit those out because they're so
close together.
I would happily watch this film again.
Oh, definitely. I'd pay to see it again.
Although, the weird thing, it's not like a weird thing, but the director, Bong Joon-ho, I haven't seen his other films, but I know he did Snowpiercer, which I started watching on a recommendation from a friend, and I couldn't get into it, but I don't know whether I just like was watching it at the wrong time, and he did that Okja.
Oh yeah,
as well. So there's, and that had rave reviews, and I haven't seen that yet, but he just seems to have, like, he's done quite a few
unusual
films, but this one, it's definitely had a wider appeal. It's definitely caught the attention of more like Western culture.
Oh yeah, he did The Host. That's the other one I was thinking of.
But is really sort of come onto my radar now, and I want to see more of his stuff. It's so good, but you don't need to know more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the film's set up in such a way, similar to The Stranger, really, where it all ties off.
Yeah.
And you're like,
nicely.
You're
and
happy
it's a
with
good
it.
Ending again.
Oh my God. Like, without spoiling it, I thought it was a really bad ending. And then I thought it was a really good ending. So you have to watch the film.
Yeah, for sure. What would you rate this film?
Like, I want to not give it a 10, but it was pretty flawless.
Okay, so I I'm giving it a 5 out of 5.
Wow. Stop the press. Breaking news. The first 100%. Mm-hmm. You're giving it 100%.
There wasn't anything I didn't dislike about it. Apart from, I didn't know how old the little girl was. Did you give it a rating? You just said it was flawless.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. I said I didn't want to because...
I know, but then you didn't it's so confirm good. If you did or not.
Oh yeah, definite 10 out of 10.
Okay, fab.
What have we got lined up to watch next week?
Yeah, so I'm going to see Emma tomorrow.
Right.
In the cinema. So you can watch TV here.
Yep. So I'm either going to watch The Goonies or I'm going to watch Picard.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch Picard because it's just easier to watch on a weekday, but I will be watching The Goonies very soon.
Yeah. And then on Friday and Saturday, The Twilight Zone comes out and RuPaul's Drag Race comes out, so we'll probably be watching those two.
Cool.
And maybe All the Boys I Loved Before, part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that was...
it's a Netflix film.
It's like a film, yeah, that came out, what, a year or two ago?
Yeah, the first one came out and now they've done a sequel, so I'm curious to see what that's like.
And it was like a teenage
drama. Yeah, it's just a little teen rom-com.
Yeah, it was quite easy to watch, wasn't it? Yeah. Quite funny, easy to watch.
Probably give that a go.
Cool. Yeah, to be honest, that's a good Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Under a blanket. With some popcorn film.
Please, please.
Okay. Right, it's Jack's turn to do a game this week.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to do that. And here I am with the game. Went off, wrote it. Now I'm here. Right, new game.
Ooh.
Fresh game. Might be good, might not be good. Might take a while to answer some of these questions unless... you already know the answers. So this game is called Books to Movies.
Oh, cool, okay.
And if you don't get it off that, it's basically books that have been adapted into a film, but the title has changed.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's not like The Book Thief, where it's...
The Book Thief.
The Book Thief.
Okay.
Or Fight Club, because that would be way too easy. Although I did see one, and it was Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
I know.
Well, you don't know it.
I do, because I listened to a podcast about it last week.
Well, you didn't listen hard enough.
Okay, what is it?
I don't know. I didn't write it down. I'm not going back on that link. It was well annoying.
No, because it's Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the original book, Roger Rabbit's Dead.
Oh. Anyway, right. We've got the concept of the game?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Question one. The greatest gift.
Greatest gift.
Yes. The greatest gift.
The greatest gift.
Yes.
Maisie.
No.
A Puppy Story.
No.
Marley and Me.
No. It's nothing to do with a dog.
Well, then it's a lie. And the greatest gift, A Christmas Story.
Close.
A Christmas gift.
It's a Christmas film.
Greatest gift.
Quite old. It's on every Christmas. I think it's got one of the Rat Pack in it, Dean Martin.
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Is Dean Martin in it?
I don't know.
Oh, could be completely wrong, but it helped you get the...
It didn't. The Rat Pack did, but...
Well, there you go. Who... That might be the wrong hint, but...
No,
but
I knew
helped.
The sort of decade.
Where it was going, right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you got that relatively...
I think
...ish. With a little help from my friends. Question two.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a well-known one.
Okay.
Okay. Do androids dream of electric sheep?
Do androids dream of electric sheep?
Yes. What was that book adapted into? No, but you're on the right lines.
Is Robin Williams in it?
No.
Bicentennial Man?
No. It would be interesting if Robin Williams was in it, though.
That's not... I think that's just going to confuse me more saying that.
Yeah, it wouldn't actually... It's a classic 80s-ish set in the future.
The androids.
Dream of electric sheep.
Terminator?
No.
Just trying to think of movies with robots in. Back to the Future?
No. It's got Harrison Ford in it.
Star Wars?
No. Star Wars was an original.
Indiana Jones?
No.
Air Force One?
How many AIs are in either Air Force One or...
I've never seen Air Force
One. You're on the right lines with artificial intelligence.
I know. I don't know any more films.
Okay, they made a sequel to it recently with Ryan Gosling.
Oh, Fright Night.
No.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
I always thought that was a movie about vampires.
Yeah, that Blade is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Watched the start of that recently. It's peculiar.
Oh, okay.
They don't die like they do in Buffy. That's
Jack's review.
Yeah. Question three.
Yeah.
The Body.
The Body.
Now, you saw a sneaky clue to this before.
Stephen King.
Yeah. The body.
I know, it stopped saying the body.
You stopped saying
it? I know, but you're repeating it to put me off. Stand by me.
Stand by me, indeed. Did you look at my iPad whilst I was looking over?
Yeah, that's what I did, because I love spoiling games.
It is indeed Stand By Me, The Body. I did not know this. I didn't.
Because you've never seen Stand By Me?
I haven't.
You should, because it's good.
Well, get me the Blu-ray.
No.
Well.
It's on telly.
I'll wait till next year. Nothing lasts forever. Question four. Nothing lasts forever.
This is really hard.
This is also a Christmas film.
All Dogs Go to Heaven?
No, it is really hard. But do you know what? We usually do dead easy quizzes. So.
I like them. Nothing Lasts Forever.
Yeah.
Christmas film.
I'll be honest, the title doesn't give much away.
Miracle on 34th Street.
No. Imagine Miracle on 34th Street with guns.
Oh, Die Hard. It's my Christmas movie.
I understand why people don't think it's a Christmas movie.
There's Father Christmas in it.
I don't know.
Does he shake his belly like a bowl full of jelly?
I think I've only seen it once. Right, this one I've thrown in because it's a super hard one.
Fab, because I'm doing great.
Well, you've got them all so far.
Yeah, with
some
clues.
Hints.
Yeah.
Question five. Chaudelos de Laglos, le liaison dangereuses.
What language is that meant to be, Jack?
It might be French. It also might be Spanish.
Could you please say it again?
Chaudelos de Laglos. That's the bit which I thought was Spanish. Le liaison dangereuses. Thank you. My pronunciation was impeccable. My Spanish French. I think it's French. The movie isn't French.
I don't know.
It's American, starring Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Reese Witherspoon.
Walk the Line.
Sarah Michelle Gellar's not in Walk
I don't know
line.
What Sarah Michelle Gellar's in.
Buffy.
Other than Scooby-Doo.
And Buffy. And Sarah Michelle Gellar.
She's like, what? I don't know.
It's Cruel Intentions.
Never seen it. I didn't know they were in it.
Yeah.
Did you see Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah.
Is she in that?
I think so. That's what the picture on the front of the cover said. Okay, last one. Question six. Shoeless Joe.
Footloose.
Sort of. It's got a Kevin in it.
Kevin Spacey.
Your nan's Kevin.
Costner.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know. The Postman.
No.
Or Dancers with Wolves.
No.
Or... That's it. That's all my Kevin Costner knowledge. That weird one where he gets Ryan Reynolds' brain. That was a weird film. That was a weird film.
The Postman's a good film, though. Long film. Trying not to give it away too much. It's about sports.
Coach Carter?
No, that's Samuel L. Jackson.
Field of Dreams.
Okay. What did you think of the game?
Hard.
What did the listeners think of the game?
Hard.
Let us know on social media at PerfectCastPod or email in at theperfectcastpod@gmail.com. Okay, guys, thank you very much for listening to episode 12 of The Perfect Cast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram at PerfectCastPod.
Or you can email us at theperfectcastpod@gmail.com.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and leave us a review. The reviews really help on helping other people find our content.
Algorithms.
Well, it's nice here. Warm at the end of the show.
Feels a bit cold, actually.
You're in a dressing gown. You shouldn't be cold. What's everyone up to this week? Anything nice?
Bye.
Have a nice weekend.
Kisses to your missus.
Or the rest of the week.
End.
No.
Happy Tuesday.
Hope you had a nice weekend. Happy Tuesday. We'll be back on Thursday. Don't forget to watch the shows.
Okay, leave us a review, please. A nice one.
Yes.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.